Well, it's good to see you on this Easter morning and be with you on the Lord's Day. I'll tell you what, I'm glad that I'm saved. Are you glad you're saved? If you're listening to it right now, just hit that like button and hit that heart. Say, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad on this Easter morning I know that He's alive, and because He lives, we can live also. I am so thankful for Sister Tina Falber and her lesson, this series of lessons about the life of Christ and the death of Christ and today the resurrection of Christ. Aren't you glad we have such a great junior church leader? Her whole team, Brother Daly and the whole team are wonderful. And I, when we get back here and back into worship and back into service, you be sure you get your kids in that junior church, because it's awesome and she's doing a wonderful job. Now, if you have your Bibles today, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 20. 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. And some of you might be asking, said, Preacher Smith, why are you sitting down? Because I want to teach a lesson, and I want to be a teacher this morning. And I know if I stand, I'm going to be preaching before this thing's over, and I'll probably be preaching sitting down some. That's just a hard thing for a preacher sometimes, so I'm going to kind of slow myself down, because I've got a lot of great material that I want to share with you today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Listen to this, here's where I'm going today. But every man in his order, Christ, the first fruits afterward, and they that are Christ at his coming. So I am going to be talking today and teaching, and it may take me 2 weeks because there's a lot of material to cover. I am going to talk about the order of the resurrection. The order of the resurrection. Now, when I first got started 47 years ago preaching the gospel, there, I want you to know, even in Baptist churches, there was a lot of ignorance about the resurrection of Christ. Let me share a little bit about that. There's a lot of folks back in the day, and even today, that don't believe in a literal bodily resurrection of the believer. They believe it's a spiritual resurrection. I guess they believe we're going to be like Casper the Ghost or something. Ladies and gentlemen, that's false. And yet then, I want to share with you, and I'm going to read another verse of Scripture and show you how folks have kind of took one verse of Scripture and not looked at the whole chapters of the Bible and come up with false doctrines. In John chapter 5 and verse 28 and 29, it says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and some shall come forth unto the resurrection of life, and they that done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, when we look at that verse, some people say, well, that's a general resurrection. Here's what some people believe. They believe that God's going to put the goats on one side and the sheep on another side, and that is the final resurrection and the final judgment, and there's only one resurrection and one judgment. Well, that's a lie. That's not true. That's not Bible. That's why the Bible said expressly in verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits after they that are Christ at his coming. Now, when we go through this lesson, I am going to teach you that there are actually 8 resurrections, 7 body resurrections that I'm going to be teaching on, and then the resurrection of the believer when we got saved. And I'll be dealing with that later on. But we're going to talk about the order of the resurrection. Now, when we talk about that, I want to talk about the first resurrection and this order. And the Bible said, now let's look what the Bible said in verse number 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Now, basically, there are 2 resurrections. There's the first resurrection and the second resurrection. The resurrection of the believers and the resurrection of the lost. But within the resurrection of the believers, there's actually multiple times folks will be resurrected, and they're all under the canopy of the first resurrection. That's it. Now, you said, Preacher Smith, that's a little confusing. No, it's not confusing if you study the Bible, if you know what the Bible says. It's not confusing at all. But there's such an ignorance about the resurrection. Now, let's talk first of all about Christ and his resurrection. In Matthew chapter 28 and verses 1 through 7, the Bible said, in the end of the Sabbath, as it became to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of them, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. I want you to know, I'm glad I'm resting today, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He is alive. He is risen. Now, as I study the first resurrection and the first fruits, we're talking about Christ first, his resurrection. I want to say this to you. It was a bodily resurrection. Now, there's a lot of false teaching. Now, I'm going to give you three little thoughts under this first resurrection. It may take a lot of our time this morning, but see, the resurrection is a hated doctrine. The Bible said in Acts 17:32, and when they heard of the resurrection, some mocked. There's people today that mocked. Back in 1965, there was a book written called The Passover Plot. That Passover Plot, that book is heresy, is ungodly, and the whole book is trying to destroy the fact of the resurrection, trying to destroy the teaching of the resurrection. So first of all, I want to talk to you about the persecution surrounding Christ's resurrection. There is a lot of persecution. There's a lot of mockers, a lot of unbelievers. But I want to tell every one of them right now, if there's any of them listening to me right now, I want you to hear me. You may mock now. You may not bow now, but I want you to know every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. You may ridicule now. You may scoff at the doctrine of resurrection now. You may say it's biologically impossible, but I want you to know something. There's nothing impossible with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for that. So, as we study this, let's look at that persecution a little while. Let me give you five false teachings about the resurrection. One of them is there was no burial at all, the no burial theory. In other words, that Jesus just died, fell in some ditch somewhere, and it was over, and he was not buried. But my Bible says that he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. What a terrible theory. It's not substantiated with any scripture. The Word of God teaches that he was buried. He was buried in Joseph's tomb. I've been there. I seen the tomb right next to where Calvary is. Right there at the garden tomb. I've been there. He's alive. Hallelujah. Then there's the stolen body theory, that his body was stolen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a false teaching. His body was not stolen. Now, Pilate made sure of that. The governor made sure of that. They put armed guards there. They sealed the tomb with a stone there. They did everything they could to make sure no one could steal the body. And for someone to make an outrageous claim that they stole his body, and there literally was no resurrection, and they took his body off somewhere, is a false, ungodly heresy. Then number three, and I'm interested in this one, it's called the hallucination theory. Now, the Bible said, and I want to go over some of this with you, that Jesus Christ arose from the grave and he was seen of people. Now, here's what the hallucination theory teaches, that everybody that saw him, they just hallucinated. They didn't see what they thought. I guess they think they ate too much pizza or some kind of trauma came up on them. What a terrible theory. And do you know, ignorant people go out and buy books like that and try to use those books to destroy the resurrection. But I want you to know, he's alive. Now, let me give you a few scriptures and some appearances of Christ. And you tell me how they could all hallucinate. Now, he appeared in John chapter 20 to Mary Magdalene. The Bible said also in Matthew chapter 28, he also appeared to the other Mary, Salome, Joanna, and at least one other woman. So at the resurrection of Christ, he appeared to Mary. Did she hallucinate? Did all five of those ladies hallucinate? He also, in Luke 24, he said he appeared to Peter. Did Peter hallucinate? He also, in Luke 24, appeared to Clopas and another disciple as they were traveling on the road to Emmaus. Did they hallucinate when they broke bread with him and saw him? And they even said, did our hearts not burn? Then the Bible said that he was seen of the 11 minus Thomas. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus was in the upper room and Jesus came through the wall. Well, glory to God, I'm about to preach. I'm trying to settle down. Jesus went right through the wall, said to him, peace. The 11 disciples without Thomas. And then he appeared to seven disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. You know the story. Peter was out fishing naked, and Jesus came, and Jesus beckoned unto them. They had caught no fish, but Jesus said, go back out and cast your net on the other side of the boat, and they caught 153 fish, which was an eyewitness account. They numbered the fish one by one, and they saw Jesus. Jesus looked at them and said, come and dine. Does that sound like hallucination? Sitting down there and eating? And then the disciples at the mountain in the Galilee, when Jesus went up and he gave the Great Commission, then James, the Bible said, saw him in 1 Corinthians 15. Then the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15, now listen to this carefully, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15, that 500 people saw him at one time. So you're going to tell me that 500 people hallucinated. What a false, what an arrogant doctrine. What a terrible doctrine. What a terrible heresy. But then also there is what's called in the book called the swoon theory. There are some believe that Jesus actually didn't die on the cross. He just swooned. He was drugged. Then somehow he got off the cross, walked down and fell into an unmarked grave. Now, what a terrible teaching. Let me tell you what, if you believe that kind of stuff, I probably could sell you some swamp land down in Florida. That's ignorance. How in the world, when the Bible said that he came out of the grave the third day, he's alive. And then the spiritual resurrection theory, that he did not come out bodily. They say that he came out spiritually, like a spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, When they saw him, they saw a bodily resurrection. I believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is the first fruits. He came out of the grave. He is alive. And because he lives, we live also. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Thank God for the teaching of the resurrection. Now, so we see the persecution, but I want you to notice also the proofs. What's the proof that he rose again? Well, let me name just a few. First of all, the empty tomb. The stone was rolled away. That big stone, the women couldn't have moved the stone. The disciples didn't move the stone. They were guards there. But the angel of the Lord came down and rolled away the stone. And Jesus came out alive. Hey, I want you to know something. The stone's rolled away. Thank God for that. And also the tomb was empty. Now, I am told that they have went into Joseph's tomb and they scraped Joseph's tomb, and we can prove it scientifically. There was no body ever corrupted in that tomb. You say, what do you mean, preacher? The Bible said the Holy One never saw corruption. So Jesus Christ, his body wasn't corrupted. He came out of that tomb. I can take you to Joseph's tomb. He's not there. It's an empty tomb. That's why Christianity rests above all religions. Hey, listen to me. The Muslims go back to Muhammad. Buddha, back to Buddha, the Buddhist. But us, hey, the child of God, we go back to an empty tomb. He's alive. Hallelujah for that. And I'll tell you another one. The church was formed. Thank God. He said, upon this rock, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When he came from the grave, even before Pentecost, he breathed on the disciples, the Holy Spirit of God. On Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came down and filled the church, and the church was formed in the Gospels, empowered in Pentecost, and the church is still going on. And he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, I'm glad. Oh, hallelujah. I am glad for a risen Savior, a Savior that's alive, a Savior that's on the throne. So the church itself proves. And I shared with you the eyewitness accounts. Thank God for all of them. I believe the courage of the disciples. When he died, they went into the upper room frightened, scared. But after he rose and they saw him, Peter preached at Pentecost. Peter and James were thrown in prison, and James died and was martyred. And these men, every one of them were martyred for the cause of Christ. They didn't do that because they have a Savior in the grave. They were martyred and died because they have a Savior that has risen from the grave. And he's alive. And they gave their life. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, boy, that's good teaching. I love it. But I want you to know something else. I thank God for another big reason and proof. You say, what is that? Well, I want to tell you what happened to me. January 31st. 1973, Jesus Christ came into my life and saved me by his grace and washed me in the blood and gave me a new life. And he lives by the way of the Holy Spirit in me. And I'm sealed to the day of redemption. And I'm on my way to heaven. And I know Jesus is my Savior. Somebody ought to raise your hand and hit that like button if you believe that. That's how we know he's saved. He lives in the believer. Well, glory. Now, let me give you one more thing. We talked about the persecution, the proof. But what about the product of the resurrection? What does the resurrection produce? I'm talking about Christ being the first fruits. What does it prove? What does it produce? Thank God it produces something. Let me share several with you. The product of the resurrection. I mean, of Christ's physical bodily resurrection. It produced some things. First of all, in Romans 1:4, the Bible said it proves his deity. The Bible said he was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. Now, the Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14 said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Can I say something to you, ladies and gentlemen? He came from the grave. He's alive. And hallelujah. And it proves his deity. It proves that he was the very God in the flesh. Oh, let me give you a verse that it kind of scalds, it just puts a real hurting on the Jehovah's Witnesses. By the way, they don't believe that Jesus was God. The Mormons don't either. Many of the cults don't either. But my Bible said, but God was manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, risen to heaven. I want you to know something. Hey, thank God that his resurrection proves his deity. Thank God. But I want to go a little further. Hallelujah. It also provides our justification. Romans 4:25. He was delivered for our sins and raised for our justification. I want you to know, and I'm just going to be blunt with you. Jesus came from the grave, and he was delivered for our sins. He died for our sins, but he was raised for our justification. Thank God that he came from the grave. Thank God that because he lives and I trust him, I'm justified. Now, there's some churches, they still got Jesus on their cross. You'll see them walking around and they have a Jesus on the cross. There's some churches this morning is going to have, they call it the sacrament. And Jesus is going to be re-crucified this morning. He's going to bleed and die this morning. By the Lord, they're going to take the sacrament. That bread they believe in transubstantiation is going to turn into the body. And then the fruit of the vine or their wine will turn into literally the blood that they drink, the blood. That's why they live have a cross on their, a person on their cross. I want you to know that's not me. My Christ is not on the cross. My Christ has risen from the dead. He's at the right hand of God. He's making intercession for us. Hallelujah for that. Hallelujah. Also, it authenticates our redemption. The Bible said, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Our redemption, the gospel, has its reality in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. If there was no resurrection, if Christ did not come from the grave, then the gospel is insufficient. There is no gospel grace. There is no power of God in the gospel if he did not come from the grave. But I'm glad, but now has Christ came from the grave. Hallelujah. That ought to thrill some of you. Now I want to show you something else. In verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 15, it says this, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. It bears upon our faith. I preach every week to our people. Right now, during this coronavirus, during all this trouble, I'm trying to get people to live by faith. Keep being faithful to God. Keep paying their tithes. Keep witnessing. Keep giving out tracts. But if Christ is not risen, then why preach faith? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Bible said without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want to say to you, if there's no resurrection, then why put your trust in him? Why believe the scripture? Why walk and live every day for Christ? But now is Christ living. risen from the dead. I want you to know something. We can place faith. We can trust God. We can walk for God. Hey, I want you to know it is worth serving God right now. And I'm going to trust him. Thank God. And then verse 18, the Bible said, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Then if there's no resurrection, it bears on our resurrection. That means there's many of my seniors, you've lost your spouse. There's a lot of people says there's no resurrection. If that's true, your spouse is not going to come from the grave and you're not going to see him again. What a lie. But now is Christ risen from the dead. That assures our bodily resurrection. That assures us that one day we're going to be resurrected physically, a new body, like Jesus' body. He came out of the grave bodily and will come out of the grave bodily. And I want you to know, hallelujah, I've got a daddy that I led to the Lord that was saved. He was saved in the first revival at Leatherwood Baptist Church. And then my mama and my family, my brother Buddy. I want you to know something. Their body is in the grave, but the real them is in heaven. But one of these days, their body's going to come out of the grave. I think of some of the people that's left in our church, and I can't name them all. We've had so many funerals in the last 4 or 5 years. Think of George O'Brien, Gary Young, my believers. I can't name all of them, but I want to tell their spouses and their family, you've got a hope. You've got a future. You can count on one thing. Because Jesus came out of the grave, you're going to see your loved ones. You're going to walk with him. You're going to fellowship with him. One day we'll be together in heaven. What a reunion. What a day. What a blessing. Glory to God. There's a point of future. Hey, if there's no resurrection, there's no future. I mean, there's no future for the church. There's no future for your family. There's no future for our world. But thank God there is a future. Thank God that we have a risen Christ. Let me go on. It bears upon our program. If there's no resurrection, why do we have all the programs in our church? Let me name a few of them. We have a homeless ministry. We go out and reach the homeless. We have people saved almost monthly in that homeless ministry. If there's no resurrection, why do that? It would bear on our program. It would be ineffective. Why do it? We have a frontline addiction ministry where many people have been saved and delivered from alcohol and drugs and pornography. And they've been saved by the grace of God. And you know why that program is got power and that program is effective? It's because of the empty grave, because Christ came from the grave. Hallelujah. Thank God. I mean, our church, we have folks saved all the time. Even during this virus, I almost misspoke, the coronavirus, this terrible thing. Where it's got us locked down. We're still seeing people saved. The program of the church is still going forward because of the resurrection. Hallelujah. And it bears upon our power. The Bible said in Philippians 3 that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and be made conformable unto his death. I want you to know there's power in the resurrection. I tell you how much power. It resurrected my old dead spirit and soul. See, man, when he fell in the garden, had communion with God, and the spirit fell down to the level of the soul and the body. But the Bible said, but the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. I want you to know something. What happened to me is I was resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth in me shall never die. Can I tell you, the greatest proof of his resurrection is the power that he saved us. Let me go on into that a little bit more. I'll tell you, that thrills my soul. Thank God for that power, that delivering power. You remember when he created heaven and earth. The Bible said, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. I want to tell you, one day in my dark soul, I was lost. I was without hope. I was on my way to hell, but the Spirit of God brooded over me. See, Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave, and he left a comforter. One of the proofs that we know we're saved is because he left a comforter. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the comforter. Thank God. Somebody hit the like button right there. We got the power of the Holy Spirit. Hit the heart right there. Shout a little bit. Rejoice a little bit. We're sealed by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power. I'm talking about the power to overcome the devil. I'm talking about the power to live a Christian life. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life I now live is by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to tell you, I'm glad for the power of God. I'm glad for what he done in my life. I'm glad that I can walk and live a Christian life and overcome in the Christian life because of what he done. Now, let me give you another product, and I may close with this, and I still got 6 more resurrections to do, as far as a part of the first resurrection and the last resurrection. I'll do that next week. But also, the resurrection bears upon our practice. You said, what do you mean by your practice? Well, I'll tell you about our practice. He said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them whatsoever I have given you. So let me tell you something. He, our practice, first of all, baptism. The Bible said being buried with him in baptism and raised to the newness of life. You know what baptism shows? It shows the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Now, baptism doesn't save you. Oh, I know there's some baptismal regeneration people maybe listening to me today. I want you to know something. If you went in that water and you were not saved by the blood, you went in a sinner and was raised a hypocrite and came out a hypocrite. And your whole life is hypocrisy because baptism does not save you. It is the blood. But also, the Lord's Supper. Now, what does the Lord's Supper do? Now, it is not a sacrament. I want you to know something. It is not a sacrament. The Lord's Supper is a memorial feast. And he said, do this until I come. He's coming one day. He is coming. And we are doing the Lord's Supper till he comes. It's our practice. It shows the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the coming again. We practice that. Then the Bible said for us to come on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16, I believe we can look at that. Now, concerning the collection of the saints, as I give an order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. So on the first day of the week, we come and we worship. We give our first fruits. We give our tithes. We're practicing the faith. Now, next week, I'm going to continue this lesson. We've talked today about Christ being the first fruits, but next week we'll talk about the other resurrections, and I'll show you some things perhaps you've never seen before, and it's going to be a blessing. Thank you for listening today. Hey, he lives, and because he lives, you can live also.